So good morning again. Okay, so after you heard the announcement, what could be the message today of giving money or pledging our finances, pledging for the new place? So what, any guess? Okay, already there, any guess? But definitely be confident that it is not about money, okay? So glad that, like, you know, God has given that opportunity for us for looking at that new place as our own. And definitely we will see that happening in the coming days. So we'll just pray and ask God before we move. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you for over the period of years. Thank you for this wonderful, Lord, climate, Lord Jesus, which you had given us, Lord. Lord, there was so much of heat, there are so much of water issues, and Lord, we want to thank you that, Lord, because the scripture says, Lord, you open the heavens, Lord, and that's the reason we just acknowledge your goodness today to Lord Jesus, and Lord, thank you for blessing us. Lord, we just pray for your presence, give our thoughts and minds, Lord Father, open heart to receive what you are giving us, Lord, this morning. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so from the past few weeks, we are doing a series on forgiveness. Okay, so forgiveness, we looked at different aspects. Last week, anyone wants to, you know, just bring it forward? What was the topic and what do we learn from last week? That will show how much good you are. Sorry? So, forgive? Family. Okay? Anyone else? Forgiven family. Oh, forgiven family. Okay, a forgiven family. Okay, so good. So we had a forgiveness. How do we implement forgiveness in our family? And we did a series on what is the heart behind God's heart for forgiveness in our lives, forgiveness in our family. And today we are going to look at forgiveness in the church. Okay, do you think we have to forgive each other in the church? Yes? Yes, no? Yes, okay. That means you have done something wrong or the other person has done something wrong. Okay, so we have to kind of like the aspect, right, of forgiveness is also applies to the church body and the wider church body which God has blessed us with. Okay, so this is what we saw, unlocking forgiveness. We saw God's heart of forgiveness. As an individual, how I should apply forgiveness in our life, I should forgive others. And then we saw forgiveness in our families, how we should exercise forgiveness in our family. And then today is the last one, which is forgiveness in our church. Okay, so this all things is coming to us today. I'm not sure why, but from last 1 month, God is speaking to us. And I believe, you know, this time of the season, God is asking us to understand the aspect of forgiveness, you know, in our lives, whether it is family, whether as a person, whether as a, you know, as a church or as an individual. Okay. So this time, this season in the month of June and July, God is speaking to us in the aspect of forgiveness means there is something which God wants us to work on or something which God wants us to look at. Okay. Okay. So why forgiveness? We all know why forgiveness. It is God's commandment. Okay. So it is not someone is requesting you to forgive. Someone is asking you to forgive. Someone is saying, no, you have to forgive. It is the commandment of God. Okay. God is saying you have to forgive. Okay, there is no escape. There is nothing where you can say or we can say saying that no. He has done a lot of things and she has done a lot of things or the church has done a lot of things. I can't forgive. No, God is commanding us that we have to forgive. In Matthew 6:14-15, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Okay, so forgiveness is an aspect, you know, we see it all over the place. You know, it is not only, you know, in our religion we see it. It is a fundamental aspect of many faiths, you know, and many faiths, many ethical systems, you know, whether you go to corporate or whether you go to a restaurant, whether you go anywhere, you know, if you're going to a restaurant and, you know, the person misses a salt or the chicken piece which you ordered and you see it, the person, and when you look at it and you say that this is not there, the person will come and say, "I apologize for it." You know, it's a universal concept, fundamental aspect of forgiveness. But the biblical forgiveness, what the Bible teaches, is very different than what we learn outside. So it's a powerful reminder of the necessity of forgiveness, not just for others, but for our well-being as well. Okay? Forgiveness not only help others, but it also helps us. Okay? As church members, it is even more essential for us to practice forgiveness. Okay? We as a community are called to love and support each other. And the love and support only will come if we apply the aspect of forgiveness. Okay? It's very critical. Okay? And anyone refusing or holding back to forgive, that means it is against God's commandment. That means against the church values or against the teaching. Okay? So if you hold on saying that, no, I can't. So, it just goes off. Right? Like it just goes off and it does not give us what God is asking us. So Renewed Hope Community in our church as well, we have to practice forgiveness. Okay? We have to practice forgiveness. I was telling Sandra, like whenever I'm preaching, I want to bring it to the church, whether it rains or something happens. But I believe that this aspect or something, God's heart for our church as we grow, as we are growing, God wants us to apply this aspect in our lives. And it's a reminder for us, before we move to the new place as well. Okay, so to bring it very open and to be very vulnerable, church is a place of conflicts and hurts. Okay, so if we are coming to a place saying that a church is a safer place, a church is a place of where you would come and get what you want and we are thinking to be good. A church is a very vulnerable place, okay? And that's the reason God is working in the church. God's eyes are over the bride of Christ. And he's purifying, he's leading, okay? So church is a place of conflicts and hurts. So, to put it forward, the church is a place where you can get hurt more. Okay? The church is a place where you can get hurt more than any other place. Okay? So I'll bring you some things which we can all look at. Okay? So the church is a place where we will get hurt more. Okay? The reason behind is we are like a family and we are closely connected. Okay? So we are a family and closely connected. If someone says something, someone does something wrong, so there are emotions attached to it because we are like a family and we are very closely connected. Okay? Suppose you ask for a water outside and that person did not give you, you would just relieve that person. Okay? For example, in Hotel Peace Park, you asked for a staff and said, "Give me water." He said, "I'll bring it," and he just got busy and he forgot. And you ask the same thing today after the search to someone saying that you bring water. And the person just went and he did not turn back. The emotions attached to the church is more than the emotions attached outside. Why? Because we are a family. We are closely connected. So that's the reason the church is a place where we can get hurt more and more often and more frequent. Then another thing is all are work in progress, and we tend to make mistakes. Okay, a place, a body, a people of God, we all are work in progress. That means we are not perfect people, so we will make mistakes. Okay, we will hurt someone, saying that kya kapda pehen ke aaye re. We'll hurt someone. The other person may not like it. Okay, so because we all are work in progress, there are chances that we can hurt them. And again, reminder, the church is a place where hurt and conflicts will happen more than any other place. The another thing is we live life together, okay? It is not that we just meet one day, we just go to a restaurant one day, go to a hostel someday, you go to a college someday, or you go to work and you meet a team for some time. But the church body is very well connected. If you look at the universal churches, it is like a dot which is connected all over the globe. Okay? Our individual families are not connected all over the globe. But if you see, the church is widely connected. Even franchisees let's take McDonald's or Pizza, they are connected like that, different globe, different location. But the church is connected to every village, every town, every city, every place, every country, every corner. there is a church which is connected. So we live life together. So there are chances that because we are living life together and we tend to make mistakes, and there are chances that we can hurt someone or we can get hurt. The another thing is, like, we know a lot of things about God's values. Okay, we can get hurt because we know a lot of things about the Word of God. So if someone else is doing something wrong and someone goes and corrects, because we know the values of God, the other person can get kind of affected. Okay, because we know the God standard, we know God's values, and when we bring it or the other person brings to us, you know, there are chances that, like, we may get hurt and there are conflicts. And in the church, the expectation is quite high. Any specific reason the expectation is quite high in the church? Why? Anyone want to shoot? Okay, so we are godly and we expect others also to be godly. Okay. Why there are, you know, the expectation is very high in the church? Everyone knows about the Word of God. Okay, we saw that. Anything else? Because our God expects more than us. Okay. So the expectation is pretty high because our God is has set a high standard for us. So because our God is so high and His expectations are the way He wants the church, His bride to be, is quite high. You know, He says, make yourself holy, purify yourselves, blameless. So the expectation is quite high. So when we come to church, the expectation is quite high. And godly values are quite high, and we will tend to make mistakes, and we may hurt each other in that process. Okay? Let's bring something with the church, you know, the ways we can get hurt by the church. Okay? The church hurts you. Okay? So, the church, not that the church hurts you, the people of the church, you know, there are chances where we can kind of, you know, because we call ourselves church. So that's what the heart behind is. Someone said something about me, okay? Someone said something about me, and there are chances where we have, you know, there are chances in the church where we have not taken it right, and it, you know, it there are hurts. And there are people who have a different attitude in the church. You know, everyone's upbringing is very different, and people's attitude, some people's attitude are different, and there are chances where we will get hurt. Sometimes you'll get, because of the leadership decision, you know, you're going to write a pledge, so you may get a hurt saying that, you know, why the leadership is forcing me to sign an amount. So there are chances where, you know, we may get hurt because of our leadership decision, okay? The church decision and leadership decision, okay? And sometimes you may come here and you're not happy at all, you know, and you may get hurt by, you know, the things, with the way it is done and the way the church does, you know. We may say that, you know, we are not happy at all. There can be disagreements, okay? So disagreements where we may not mutually agree among each other, okay? So these are the ways where we can get hurt by the church. There are corrections where someone would say that, like, you know, you have done what is wrong or we have done what is right. So there are directions and corrections where, you know, we may get hurt. Okay, so there are chances that we may get hurt. Sometimes, you know, our point of view is not taken in consideration when we are discussing, or, like, you know, when we are in a cell group or a meeting, you shared that, who is God? You said God is omnipresent. Someone said God is holy. And someone, you know, the leader said, oh, wow, God is holy. And you're looking at yourself and say, oh, my God, I said God is omnipresent. He did not say that, you know. So there is always a chance of another point of view, you know, can come in between. And we may get, these are the ways we, you know, different ways, possibilities. There are many, but, you know, we can get hurt through the people of the church, okay? Jokes are good outside the church, but jokes comes inside the church because the expectation is quite high. You know, there are chances where people may not take the jokes correctly, right? So, you know, we can get hurt because of jokes. Sometimes knowingly, unknowingly, okay? Sometimes you did not say hi, bye to someone, and the person thinks that, you know, this person is behaving very different to me because I have said, because I said something to that person or have not said something to that person, okay? And can be a possibility as, you know, he or she has taken it personally, okay? When we say kind of like, You know, be careful when you, you know, when you take tea and coffees, mind that it, you know, we get it for everyone. So, you know, the person who hears it, like, you know, he doesn't want me to take coffee and tea, you know, he takes it personally. Okay. So what we saw was a place where we will get hurt more, and the ways we can get hurt. There are many other things. You may have your own story. And, you know, we can write it. The aspect of forgiveness, okay? Now, we saw the church is a place where we will get hurt more. And there is where the forgiveness aspect has to be, you know, given more. Or we have to kind of like work on that aspect more. Why the church is different than corporate? Okay? And when the aspect of forgiveness. The corporate says give back mentality, you know? Correct? We all are working. Someone hurted you. Arre, she said you did not work in the email. Or usne mail kyun drop kiya? They should have, you know, pinged me and said that, you know, give back. So we will, you know, collect all the data, reply back all to their manager, my manager, everyone, and you will write a nice content and say that, yes, I understand what you have said, but, and then we get it correct, okay? Give back mentality. Okay, so that is what. But the church teaches us let go mentality. Okay? How the church is different than the when the aspect of forgiveness comes in. The church says, let go. You know, the church says, let go. In corporate, one mistake can cost us very badly. Okay? Suppose the client is waiting for a proposal from you. And today is the deadline. Every other company has sent that proposal and you are supposed to send it. Every proposal has a deadline. Or, you know, and, you know, we have a lot of professors here, examination coordinator. If Sharon did not send the marks in the specific date, so there is an examination officer sitting. It's like one mistake can cost us very badly, right? It can cost us very badly. In corporate. So there is no forgiveness. There is no let it go mentality. But the church gives another chance. The church gives chance after chance after chance, saying that no, it's okay. And that is where the church has to know that we are very different than corporate. We all are, you know, working in corporates. We have been trained in corporate mentality. We are working 7 days in corporate. We are sending hardcore mails to the people around us. When we come to church, we need to understand the aspect of forgiveness. Okay? So it should affect that side as well. In corporate, selfish in nature. Okay? So they would do anything to prove their point, and they are all kind of selfish in nature. When it comes to the aspect of forgiveness, they would kind of like never say that they are done wrong. They will never say. And they will never come with a posture of humility and saying that, you know, what I've done is wrong. They will always say that because you have done this, that's the reason it is too late. Or because you have not worked on time, that's the reason we have this issue. But church teaches us selfless in nature. Don't look at yourself. You have to be selfless. The corporate talks about it's all about me. Okay, it's all about me. The church says it's all about others. In corporate, there is nothing to lose. Theek hai, ek job gaya, dusra job aayega. And if I say something also, it's fine. People are like that only. You will get another colleague and you know another company you will get. But in the church, we lose a you know brother, a beloved brother and sister in Christ if we don't exercise. Are, you know, the aspect of forgiveness. Okay? So we saw the church is a place where we can get hurt more. A church is a place, there are ways, you know, where different ways where we can get hurt. And the church is very different, the way corporate looks at the aspect of forgiveness. And as a church, we need to look at the aspect of forgiveness in a very different way. Why forgiveness? We looked at it's a commandment. And if you have your Bible, you can read this for us. I will read it for us. Matthew 5:21-26. You have heard that it has said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, okay, it talks about murder, okay? But I tell you, who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment, okay? So the murder is being, you know, kind of directly bringing that relation in the aspect of angry. If you are angry with someone in Renewed Hope community, you know, God talks about this, that it directly relates to the murder. And you are also subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you foot, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift in the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid your last penny. So the Bible is very clear what it talks about. It talks about when we say, I have not committed anything against God. It says if you are angry with your brother or a sister in the community or outside the community, we are looking at the church aspect, our brethren, you know, then you have to first go and reconcile. The Bible is very clear. He says, leave your gift, leave your worship, leave your word, leave your commitment, leave your tithes, leave your pledge, leave everything. First you go and reconcile. And it says you have to reconcile it before it becomes too long. Okay? So why there is court and all that which is mentioned here is like before it goes towards a place where we can't bring it back, put every effort that we can reconcile this aspect of forgiveness. Okay? Look at ourselves. Look at yourself. We, you know, many of being part of this community from a very long time. Is there anything which God is asking me or reminding me? Okay? If you have to, we have to release this aspect of forgiveness. If anything which you hold on to yourself and which you feel that it hurts, you know, this is the time where we can just say, I release that person and get right with that person. Reasons not to forgive, okay? Ah, yes, Pastor, you're saying all this, correct, you know, but there are many reasons you don't know. And, you know, I know, I stay, I know, I work, you know, it's a very general statement, which we all exercise quite often, okay? Reasons not to forgive, he knows the word of God well, and still he did it, okay, he or she. So, the reason why you don't want to kind of like, when we come to the church, we say that, are, he knows everything. And he speaks so much words, Bible scriptures and all that. But still he did it. So I will not forgive. Okay? I am right. Another attitude of ours is, why I have to go? Let the other person forgive and come to me and say that I'm sorry. I'm ready to extend that. But I'm right in my way. And the third is, he willingly did it. He knew that I was passing by, he or she knew that I was passing by, but still that person ignored me, willingly ignored me. Fourth is, he deserved it. Okay? If something happens, bad happens to that person, the person or a child who fails in the exam, or the person is sick, the person is kind of having some issues in family. See? The reason is because he did this to me. Let him come and tell, ask forgiveness. Everything will be fine in his home, in his workplace, everything. You know, he deserved it attitude. I would say, I am not, you know, I'll not forgive. Third is, hurt is deep. You know, sorry, a regular offender. Means you have someone who does it quite often. There are a lot of regular offenders which you see every day in our lives. Your spouse. You have regular offenders both ways, where you may get hurt and you may feel that, how long, Lord? But the Bible is very clear in that. Before you come to Renewed Hope Community, set that thing right. Keep your gifts aside and do it. So in the church, there would be someone where we can say that he or she is a regular offender. Let me just hold myself back. You know, I'm not going to go and release forgiveness. Sometimes the hurt is so deep where we would say, no escape. I can't. This hurt is, you know, very deep. And I have been hurt very badly. I am not going to forgive. So these are the reasons not to forgive. And someone asked this very similar. He had a lot of reasons and he said, Jesus, how many times should I forgive? With a lot of reasons. What did Jesus say? 77 times. Till the time you extend, you see that person in your life, you extend forgiveness. That is the heart of God. And that expectation, that standard, the church brings it. And when we talk about forgiveness, people will say, you don't know, I don't know, I know he deserved and all that. But the expectation of Jesus for the church has been set very high, 77 times. Okay? So there are reasons which we have not to forgive, but Christ sets a very high standard for us. What are the dangers of unforgiveness in church? Okay? Suppose we all are sitting here and there are unforgiveness among us, or we have not forgiven. Unforgiveness will hinder our fellowship with God. Unforgiveness will hinder our fellowship with God. Today we can come here and worship. If there is unforgiveness, I would truly tell you, we won't be able to worship God. We have to come to a place that we need to release that forgiveness. Dangerous. It is dangerous for us. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, Jesus said that, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if we don't forgive our sins, our Father in heaven will not forgive our sin. And in the ongoing relationship with my God, where my God has asked me to forgive, if I don't do that forgiveness, then there is a hindrance between what God's commandment for me and, you know, and my thoughts. So, very clear. Unforgiveness will hinder our spiritual growth. If we are not releasing our forgiveness, we think that chota sa cheez hai, or a small thing. But it may hinder our fellowship, our relationship and our fellowship with God. And I want to bring that, Matthew, before it is too late, we need to, you know, resolve that. Unforgiveness will lead to conflicts. Okay? When there is unforgiveness among brethren in the church, it will lead to more conflicts. Classic example is at home. If there is a fight which has happened, it leads to many fights. Okay? The fight may be because of food, but then electricity comes in, then water comes in, then kitchen comes in, then the doorbell comes in, then children comes in, then the car comes in, then the mall comes in, then the church comes in. You know, it leads to more conflicts if you don't resolve it there at that time. I'm saying, why this message coming to our church? God has a big heart for our church. We are going to expand. So many people will come and go. There are chances, possibilities, where God is setting our base right, that we know what God is asking us to do. So we need to sort it so that conflicts are less. Okay? Can't make conflict to us. Let's resolve it. Why to wait till electricity, then kitchen, then here? You know, why to wait? Let's solve it there. Let it not, you know, move ahead. Because of unforgiveness, there is ego. And when there is ego, it produces more conflicts. It is like you have sown the soil with your ego. And it is ready You put something, it will grow very fast. So we have, it's like this. If you have not sowed, it is sown already. And you put some seed and it will become a strong tree. Okay? Unforgiveness steals our joy. You know, we may come actively to church, taking part in different ministries. But unforgiveness can steal our joy and lead to bitterness. Okay? Unforgiveness can steal our joy and lead to bitterness. Unforgiveness keeps the room for the enemy to come in and take hold of it. Okay? It says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. In order, Satan might not outwit us, for we are unaware of his schemes. So Satan is seeking an opportunity when we don't release forgiveness. It is, you know, it is just a room. We keep it open. It can destroy our family. It can destroy an individual. And when it happens to the church, boom, gone. You know, today we may think that we are big, we are growing. The next Sunday you may not see anyone coming here. So the Satan is seeking an opportunity to destroy church and God's people. And we need not give a room for Satan. We need to close that by forgiving our brethren. You know, many times forgiveness, unforgiveness will not let us to forget. Okay? As long as we fail to forgive an offender, means like someone who has done wrong, we are shackled in the past. Unforgiveness keeps that pain alive. Okay? Kitna bhi saal hone do, that pain is still there even now. No one can heal. Only God can heal. That's our prayer. But if we come to God, we can see a breakthrough in that. You know, there are wounds can get healed if we forget the past. You know, we are putting ourselves in bondage that and making the pain still alive because we are always remembering that. The pain may have healed or has to be healed in the sight of God, but we have kept it alive for years. You remind yourself, or we remind ourselves, saying that, yes, he did this to me over the period of years. And the pain is still there, you know, causing us more bitterness, causing us more pain, causing us more of sickness in our lives. And the remedy is like, you know, it's a lifelong pain which we carry with us. So unforgiveness will not let us to forget. A very important aspect. So there are dangers of unforgiveness in the church. Okay? Someone has written this. I liked it. I copy-pasted it. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner is you. To forgive is to set a prisoner free. Means, maine forgive kar diya. So, that person is not free now. We are the ones, we are setting us ourselves free. So, remind ourselves, it is not that we are holding back for someone, but we are holding back for ourselves. Okay? So, you know, let's see to it that we are releasing forgiveness and we are ready to forgive for ourselves, not for the other person. Okay? Or else we are, you know, we are in prison. We are not letting ourselves out of the prison. Okay, so you have locked yourself. You know, that would be the wonderful picture which you can see if you're not, released forgiveness. Okay, biblical forgiveness, it says like, you know, it's an act. You need to act. You can't just say, I will wait. Or let the time come. Forgiveness is an act. You know, Jesus said, go. बॉस तू चर्च में आया, तुम यू हैव कम टू चर्च नाउ, लेट द वर्शिप फिनिश एंड देन गो होम. नो नो, जीसस डिड नॉट से दैट. ही सेड कीप दैट गिफ्ट असाइड बॉस एंड गो एंड सॉर्ट द थिंग्स आउट फर्स्ट. एंड इट्स एन एक्ट, यू नो, वी हैव टू एक्ट इट आउट इमीडिएटली. ओके, फॉरगिवनेस इज नॉट अ यू नो पैसिव अप्रोच, यू नो, और फॉरगेटिंग और लेटिंग समथिंग फेड इन मेमोरी. ओके, सो what we have to do is, it is not a passive process, means past mein jo hua or forgetting or letting something fade in memory, that time will heal us. Okay, that is not the case. Rather is an active process which involves a choice and deliberate course of action. Okay, that we have to decide now. It's an active process that we have to take a step now, not that we just, you know, let time pass by, let the healing come, let things change, you know, like we, it's an active process which we need to see that, you know, we work for us. In Isaiah it says, you know, God has will to remember your sins no more. Okay, that is what God commanded to the people of Israel, and it applies same for us. As we draw God's grace and decide not to think or talk about what others have done to hurt us. Okay, so we have to see that it's not a passive process. You know, we have to see that not time will heal. It's an active process. We need to see that, like, you know, we do it right away. And the way we will receive God's grace, we need to pass it on to others. Forgiveness is not excusing by saying it is okay, it wasn't that big of a deal. Okay, so forgiveness is not opposite of excusing. Forgiveness, when we mean forgiveness, it says, yes, we both party know that we have done wrong, but since God has forgiven me, so I also forgive you. Okay, it is not that theek hai ho gaya. It is not that what God is expecting us, or that's not the heart behind forgiveness. Forgiveness is, we both come together and we say, yes, we have done mistake, but we chose to forgive each other because God has forgiven us first. Okay. Forgiveness can be costly and painful. Sometimes certain effects of a person's sin or a person's attitude can linger for quite a long time in our lives. And you're fighting against it. It can become a painful memory. But, you know, we have to work it out, and we have to trust God that it doesn't cost us mental and psychological, and, you know, it does not affect us. Okay, so it is costly. You know, if we don't deal it, there are costs associated towards it. So we have to see that, you know, we deal it rightly. Okay, it may cost us finances, it may cost us internal injury in the heart, and it can put a lot of things in our families and our personal life in our growth. Okay, so it is it can be a costly and painful affair if we don't do it at the right time. Okay, so the idea of biblical forgiveness is a choice. It takes thought and effort. It's not that something is just happens. We have to. It's a choice. It is an effort. Okay, it is not something that I just wait for that, but, you know, we just go and, you know, do it. Okay, so to forgive, one must be willing to let go anger and resentment and focus instead of possibility of healing and reconciliation. Okay, so some practical steps which we can take. Okay, so control your emotions. Okay, ask yourself some questions to ask. Am I easily offended? If you're not raising your hand, that means yes. Did this person mean to hurt me? Is there a chance it can be an accident? It just came up, not intentional. So there are many things which we have to deal with, and we have to work on our emotions. Okay, going through a few questions, you know, which we have in our lives that can help us, where, you know, the Bible says, value others above yourselves, right? Value others above yourselves. So you start, don't take it negatively when we come to church and, you know, there is conversations, meetings. And as I said, church is the place where you will get hurt more. Okay, so be ready for it. But God is there, and we have to bring that aspect of forgiveness here so that we change the culture of corporate outside, you know, and people see the biblical values exercised in corporate as well. So control your emotions. Okay, tell your neighbor that going forth, I will control my emotions. Okay, we have to control our emotions. Okay, some practical steps. Constant reminder that God has forgiven me. Okay, so if I don't remind myself that God has forgiven me, then the aspect of forgiveness will never come. Any point, how bad it is, it will never come. So in the church, we always have to remind ourselves, God has forgiven me. And that is the reason this forgiveness overflows from my life. Okay? So constant reminder that God has forgiven me. Pray for yourself. How many of us pray for yourself? If you're not raising your hand, that means you're praying for yourself. Okay? Yeah. So, yes, we have to pray for ourselves. We have to fast for ourselves. We have to seek God for ourselves. Okay, you know, sometimes I just keep fasting, not only for the, you know, church, family and all. I fast for myself. God, I want to change. For myself. This fasting is only for myself. No families attached, no children attached, no spouse attached, no church attached. Only for myself. So we have to pray for ourselves. Okay. And pray for your offender as well. Okay. So God not only asks that, you know, we pray for us, but it also says pray for your offender. Is it biblical? Yes, Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay, love your enemies. So when we read this verse, we just constantly remind ourselves that, you know, whether he's wrong, whether he's right, we pray for the offender, you know, who has caused deep hurt in us. Depend and trust God. Okay, so many times people don't respond, we don't respond, but ultimately we are releasing all that forgiveness is because of God. Okay, we need to remind ourselves that truth. It is all coming out because of God, not because someone told me, not because I have been attending church for 15 years, but it should all come from inside. Depend and trust God that it will work out. Okay. So now, what is the role of church members when someone is hurt, and you know, we see the aspect of hurts and conflicts? Okay. So it's in Philippians chapter 4, which we were, you know, in men's and women's ministry, which we read last Wednesday. I just want to bring that verse. You know, Paul is talking to the people of Philippians, and I'll read this for all of us, okay? Verse 1, Philippians chapter 4. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Synach, to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help this woman, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, with God, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, what is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put in practice, and the God of peace will be with you. A bit of context in verse 1 to 3, if you read, you know, there is some conflict between two women who has been helping Paul. And Paul wonderfully writes, you know, as a church leader or like a person who is there, an apostle. So he says, I plead. Okay. A person of that status and authority is saying, I plead with this two person to be on the same mind in the Lord. And it also says that, you know, I ask you, my true companion, help this woman since they have lamented at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Okay? And then there are other things which Paul talks about. But, you know, if Paul is writing something, means there's something which is very serious and something which he brings forward to the people. Okay? So, we have to understand that Paul is pleading to both to resolve. The church has to plead, whom we see, to reconcile families, to bring forgiveness in the lives of people. The church has to plead. And it also, he requests others as well. He says, my fellow co-workers, can you please also come and help? You know, can you please come and help so that, you know, there will be peace. You know, later he puts that forward. He starts the letter with this and then he talks about rejoice and don't be anxious and all that. There's something which is disturbing the church. And Paul is on his knees and saying, I plead unto you. I plead. The church has to go to their knees and plead for reconciliation for the church members who have been hurt. It is the church's responsibility to go forward. Okay? So, and everyone should put effort. Paul is saying, my true companion, help this woman. My true companion, his people, his known people. He's saying, please, I ask you also, please help me. That should be the heart of the church when we bring this aspect of reconciliation, forgiveness in the church. The church should be on their knees, pleading to God, pleading to people, both sides, and bring back them to where they belong to. So we as a church, Renewed Hope Community, has a role to play. And it is not some ex-family in the church, ex-member in the church. The church pleads. The church goes on their knees and brings back that reconciliation. Whether it is anyone, whether it is husband and wife, mother and father, youngster, anyone, the church pleads and says, let go. Let's forgive. You know, let's forgive. It is a commandment of God. Okay, having said that, the church needs to be protected. You know, God oversees the church. And he has given the responsibility to people who has called and given that responsibility to them. There is something known as church discipline. Okay. What if a serious offense is committed against one another? What if the church ignores an offense that may have hurt the offender? What if when it is scandalous sin or it may be potentially damaging the body of Christ? So, with all this, you know, just want to bring this aspect. There's something called as church discipline which comes up where the shepherd has to protect or the people of the church has to protect the church to be pure, to be holy, to be acceptable when Christ is coming. So the church doesn't compromise any of this. And the leadership also doesn't compromise any of this. When we see an offense which we know that it's a danger, you know, we have asked people to leave the church. If we see someone who is committing serious offense, we have given them last final warnings in the Renewed Hope Community. If we see something which is scandalous, damaging the church and the body of Christ, we have had hardcore talks with them, because it is not us, it is God's forgiveness and God's church, where we have to also protect it. But having said this, the church tries the best. God tries the best, because so that the body of Christ becomes holy, accepted the time when Christ comes. You know, as he said, Christ says, I'll come for my bride. Means we are married with the blood of Christ, the church and the people of church. So we should have a real desire to forgive. And I would say, even now, if we say that God help me to forgive, at this second, I'm so confident that we can walk freedom in freedom outside this place. That is the power of Christ. And I want all of us to have a prayer this morning. The prayer can be, I will not dwell on this incident. I will not bring this incident again and use it against that person. I will not talk to others about this incident. And I will not let this incident stand between us or hinder our personal relationship and our relationship with God. So it's time open for us. If this message is coming to us at this time, you know, means it is something God wants us to deal with this morning. So we just take time and we just pray and ask God.